I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. To get what you want in foreign policy, according to former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, you've got military force at one end of the spectrum, and at the other end are words of reason. Somewhere in the middle is diplomacy, economic sanctions, foreign aid, and pins, brooches. Madeleine Albright's extensive collection of brooches, in fact. Some delicate, some gaudy, and the messages they carry are as terse as a State Department cable. You can hear what those pins have said in Read My Pins, Stories from a Diplomat's Jewel Box. Madam Secretary, thank you for coming in. They're on display right now at the Museum of Arts and Design.
They are. And Marco, it's great to be with you. And I have to say, the show is fabulous and surprised me a little bit since I at home keep these things in hanging plastic bags. But it all started, frankly, because Saddam Hussein, I was ambassador at the UN. We had a lot of sanctions resolutions after the Gulf War. And there was a poem in their controlled press in which he called me an unparalleled serpent. And I happened to have a snake pin, so I wore that. And then I thought, well, this is fun. So I then bought a bunch of other mostly costume jewelry just to kind of declare what my mood was.
Right. And it's about messages. And it's about sort of sending messages out to the public and other diplomats. Did people get the snake pin? Did they understand what
it meant? I think they did. And finally, they all got it to some extent or another. They would look to see what I was wearing. And then, of course, I don't know if I think people remember the first President Bush said, read my lips, no new taxes. So that's why when they said, what are we doing today? I'd say, read my pins.
Men are relatively limited in what they can use dress-wise to express themselves. We've got kind of a suit and a tie. You must have discovered pretty early on that you had a whole arsenal of tools that men didn't. Was that empowering?
I think it was. You know, there was a whole question, Marco, about whether a woman could be Secretary of State. And as you've probably noticed, there are more comments about what women wear or their haircuts or whatever than ever happens to a man. And so I decided I love being a woman, and I decided I would wear bright colors and get some good clothes. And so the pins were just an addition to that.
You know, you point out in your book that men do wear pins, too, and we see them all the time. Generals, their power is kind of encoded with silk-colored pins on their chests in North Korea, loyalty to the dear leader and the Communist Party via pins. And, of course, here in the U.S., we can't forget the little flag pins. And this was brought to bear on President Obama during the campaign when he was pestered about not wearing a flag pin, and then he put one on. It seems like there's almost a silly amount of pressure to wear the flag pin. What are your thoughts on
that? Well, I think I love to wear my Americana, but I do it by choice. And it's really only in countries with dictatorships where people have to wear the face of the dictator, Kim Jong-il, for instance, or Mao Tse-tung. And I thought it was really silly. I mean, President Obama was a patriotic candidate. He's definitely a patriotic president. And so to have that be some kind of a test of loyalty, it's one thing to wear things by choice. It's another to force people to do it.
Let's put you in the present briefly. If you had been in the room yesterday in Geneva with the Iranians, what pin would you have worn?
Well, I have a great pin, actually, and it is a dove and an eagle. And it really would, in fact, I think, symbolize what's supposed to be going on there, which is incentives and disincentives, of really offering some way that the Iranians can come into the system, but making very clear that there is the strength of international unity to push them on some of these issues. So that's what I would have worn. But I think that we don't know where this is headed. I think yesterday was actually a pretty good day in terms of what the Iranians had agreed to of inspections and the possibility of bringing fuel in from outside and shipping some of their fuel out. But as President Obama said, this is the beginning of a long road.
You were critical of foreign policy under President George W. Bush. President Obama had promised basically a 180-degree turn from that, vowing to engage with people described previously as enemies. Presumably you support him in that.
Very much so, because I think that the issue here is you have to talk to your enemies. And there is this kind of misconception that talking is just happy talk. I mean, I was in a lot of tough meetings where you deliver a very hard message, and you can't do that if you do not have some kind of a relationship. And so I fully agree.
There's also the perception that if President Obama does engage with so-called enemies, he'd appear weak.
I so disagree with that, because I know there's this kind of thing that talking is appeasement and that if you take responsibility for some bad action, you're apologizing. I think that's ridiculous. I think that what President Obama has done is really restore credibility to the American word, to American character. And so I think that you have to show the desire to at least listen and never forget your own national interests. And I think that's been happening very much so.
Let me ask you briefly about Afghanistan. What does Mr. Obama do about this? Because it has been and is still arguably a haven for terrorists. And yet, can Mr. Obama afford to put in more troops to shut down that haven, especially when Afghanistan doesn't take well to foreign occupation, when al-Qaeda can and is training in other places?
What is happening now, which I have to say is very good decision-making, is President Obama is gathering his national security advisors to go over the situation there and what General McChrystal has suggested. And for me, he is the epitome of what I called for in my previous book, A Memo to the President, in which I said we needed a confident president rather than a certain president, because confidence allows him to hear all these different views. And I think that he will be looking at various parts. But it is hard, because I think if we pull out, then I think there is that vacuum that was there before. If we have a massive force, then, as you point out, we become an occupation force. And NATO has a very large role in this, and so there are a lot of questions, and I think President Obama is going about this in the right way.
As I look through certain pictures in this book, it seems like a more innocent time. Here's a picture of you with Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak at the signing of an interim agreement between Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak and Palestinian Chairman Yasser Arafat. Now, if we look at what's happening in the Middle East today, President Obama kind of lost round one, if you will, when he failed to get a freeze on settlements. How big of a setback was this, do you think?
Well, I think that he, in many ways, had a good round by bringing Prime Minister Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinians, together in New York. But again, I think this is one of the most difficult issues out there. Senator Mitchell, as the envoy, has been on the ground. And I think it's very important to have somebody that does it on a day-to-day basis. There, I think, will be some forward movement in more talks, but it is very, very hard. And I do think that the U.S. has to be in a position where we are the party, the only party, actually, that can bring the Palestinians and Israelis together. But this is a long slog.
Well, we're talking about the Middle East. Tell us about the pins you're wearing today, and you have matching earrings to go with them. Yeah. Were these the gifts from Leah
yes.
Rabin?
What happened was Leah Rabin gave me a
this
dove
is the widow
pin.
Of,
the widow
Yitzhak.
Of Yitzhak yeah. Rabin. She gave me a dove pin in order to show, obviously, that peace was very important. I wore it whenever we had a Middle East speech. I like it a lot, and it is on the cover of my book that I wrote about God and religion in foreign policy, The Mighty and the Almighty. And Archbishop Tutu, who's really one of the remarkable people, said that religion is like a knife. You can either shove it into somebody's back or cut bread with it, and religion is like that. And so that's why I wrote about it in terms of foreign policy, and the dove seemed like an appropriate symbol for that.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright's new book is called Read My Pen, Stories from a Diplomat's Jewel Box. Madam Secretary, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Marco.